Well, welcome back. I am thrilled to be joined today by D.A. Horton. I'm going to describe D.A. as a pastor and an author, a father, a husband, a fellow brother in Christ. He might describe himself as a Mexican Choctaw American church planter. D.A., welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Carmen, thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's so wonderful to be with you. The last time that that I can recall you and I talking together on air was in 2016. And at that point in time, we were in a very different place in terms of our conversations in America, because we had not yet elected the current president. And the conversations that have been a part of the texture of the Christian community, particularly in evangelical Christianity, I think have become even more complex in those subsequent years. So I'm really appreciating your book, Intentional: Kingdom Ethnicity in a Divided World. So thank you for joining us to talk about it.
Yeah, my privilege. It really is.
So the last time that you and I talked, we talked about a lot of tensions. I mean, a lot of tensions. And I appreciate that one of the things that you're doing in this book is helping us move from just the recognition that there's a lot of tension to something that is intentional. So talk about that sort of shift.
Yeah, I think when we recognize the fact that there's just so many nuances in life, so many tensions, you know, we could find ourselves just drowning in anxiety. We can even be paralyzed by fear, anger, and all the human emotions that we feel. And then I think just looking at the body of Christ, we have to recognize that, you know, Jesus has given us our marching orders. He has given us the command to make disciples, to teach every Jesus follower how to observe and obey the commands that Christ has given us. So the blessed opportunity that we have as the body of Christ is to look at the framework of Scripture and to not deny that there's tension in our fallen and broken world, but at the same time recognize that we realize that at the end of human history, Christ is ruling and reigning. And so we want to be a snapshot of what that rule and reign looks like so that it would give us a stronger appeal to the non-believer who does not know about Christ to look at the way that we govern ourselves, the way that we converse, the way that we're navigating through all the various tensions, yet with hope and with the aspect that Christ is going to make all things new. And so we as believers in Christ have to navigate with that hope, even though we dwell in the midst of hopelessness. And that's the goal for Intentional, is for every believer, no matter where you're from, what your ethnic heritage is, to give us some handles on how we can move the conversation forward so that prayerfully we can regain our salt and our light for our witness for the glory of Christ.
Whoo! Right, I'm going to pause there for just a moment, because if my heart's desire, if my hope is to gain glory for Christ, and to the only glory I'm ever going to really enjoy is glory in Christ.
Right.
You are having me look at, you are having me concern myself with things that are literally not of this world. Talk about the kingdom. And then I want us to be sure we focus in, when we use that language, to focus in on the fact that it's easy for us to talk about kingdom Christianity when we're talking about global Christianity, but
right.
You are really talking about us right here in the United States of America, with all of the tensions that we experience with one another, manifesting the reality of kingdom principles and kingdom family right here, right now.
Absolutely. You know, when we think about the kingdom of God, that's just the rule and the reign of our Savior. And I think that we as the church, and that's every Jesus follower, no matter what your denomination is, if you've embraced Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you. So you're the one I'm speaking to, that we have been given a prime opportunity to be what we would call a trailer for the coming kingdom. You know, before we all went into quarantine, and I know that some states are reopening, we used to go to the movie theater a lot as a family, even dates, my wife and I. And before every feature film, there are trailers. There's these 2-minute teasers to get you to say, Hollywood, here's my money. And the reality of that trailer is to make it appealing enough for the consumer to then spend their hard-earned money to watch that full-length feature film. Well, in a greater way, We, as the body of Christ, specifically here in America, where all these tensions exist, we are to be that 2-minute trailer of what the coming kingdom is going to look like. Not so that people would say, here's my money, but rather they would say, Christ, here's my heart. And I want to be a part of your rule and your reign, which is, for a greater way, the parallel is the feature film, that it's the never-ending kingdom of God. It's not going to last for 2 hours. It's throughout all of eternity. And so we as the body of Christ have to learn how to engage in the conversation for flourishing holistically in our lives. That means in the spaces that we live in. That means in our personal walk with Christ, in the way that we engage conversationally, the way that we're loving our neighbors, the way that we are speaking well of our other brothers and sisters in Christ. And at the same time, having meaningful relationships. So again, the world will look at us and they will see people from both genders. They'll see people from various social classes. They'll see people from various ethnicities that really don't have a lot in common outside of the fact that we all confess Christ is our Savior and Lord. And that is what Christ was praying for in John 17, that we would be one so that the world would believe. It's not that we have to have everyone vote the same, everyone look the same, everyone do everything the same, but rather recognize that there is distinction that God has given us. And we don't lose that individuality. But at the same time, when we come together, we are saying that Christ is our chief Lord. He is the one that we worship. We submit all of our distinctions and diversities and even disagreements to him. And we take up our marching orders together to make disciples and make Christ known.
All right. I am talking with D.A. Horton. We are talking about intentional kingdom ethnicity in a divided world, and we'll be right back. Continuing my conversation now with author, speaker, and general kingdom provocateur, D.A. Horton. His book is Intentional, the word tension highlighted right in the middle there, Intentional, Kingdom Ethnicity in a Divided World. The book from beginning to end really, I think, is summed up at the with this phrase that you use, becoming a brochure for heaven. And when I think about, I have heard that said by other people as you and I are provisional demonstration of the gospel, right? But yeah. Becoming a brochure for heaven is a much more simple way of saying it. So if you and I individually and together are going to become a brochure for heaven, in fact, I can't do it individually. It is a brochure for heaven requires all parts of the body. And so between here and the point where we have produced that brochure in a way that Jesus himself would recognize as good advertising, as authentically living it out, as really showing people. So between here and there, how do we actually find or create the images and the language that will go into the brochure? You see what I'm doing? I'm looking for those pieces. I'm looking for, it's one thing to have a brochure that's a finished product. It's another thing to be in a position to be one of the people who recognizes that the way that I live and the way that I live alongside others and with others is actually producing the pictures and the language that's going to end up in the brochure. And so how do we do that?
Absolutely. You know, I think that Jesus has saved us so that we could be seen. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we have to be visible witnesses of what kingdom life looks like. And some of the ways that I break it down for the readers in Intentional is through acronyms. And I just think of one way, you know, the acronym HUMAN, looking at the fact that each of us live in a habitat with social spaces. I think what we as kingdom citizens must look to do is address the issues that are working against human flourishing in the homes and our community, against the flourishing of relationships in our churches, our community, our city, our nation, our world. I think that we need to be a prophetic, voice, centering the content of what we're saying from the words of God in Scripture. But it's not just about the social spaces that we inhabit. It's also our understanding, our intellect. I think we have to do a good job of learning church history. We have to recognize, specifically in America, that our faith did not start in 1776. It didn't start in 1492. We're talking about a corridor of 3 millennia of narratives, of documented sources of Christian movements and navigations through the tensions of society for over three millennia and what that looked like so that we can learn from our fathers and mothers of the faith and make it visible today, contextualized to where we're living. We also have to look at how do we meet the needs of the material physical bodies of people, acknowledging that there's dietary needs, that people need clothing, exercise, employment, opportunities for fair wages, hygiene, righteous sexual expression, and affordable housing. I think when the church begins to recognize that we can be prophetic and we can be agents of God's shalom, his peace in these spaces, even the emotions, the affections of people with mental illnesses on the rise, stress factors, there's various expressions of abuse from emotional to sexual, spiritual, and verbal. Like, we have the word of God, which is the healing salve for the human bleeding heart, and even the non-material parts of the human being, the soul, recognizing that we, as image bearers of God, can be reconciled to our Creator through Christ alone. And when we take that holistic framework, I think that's the content, that's the snapshots, that's the filling in of the brochure, if you will, to say that Christ is about redeeming the whole of the human being, not just our soul and not just our theology, but our emotions, our physical bodies, and what it looks like to live righteously under the lordship of Christ.
All right, for those of you who have feverishly been trying to take notes and find the acronym HUMAN and all of that, it is in the appendix. Human, habitat, social spaces, understanding, the intellect, material, the physical body, affection, the emotions, non-material, the spiritual. D.A., my listeners know I love appendices, and I love the appendix in intentional. It is several acronyms. So the acronym ABLE, the acronym FABRIC, HUMAN, PACE, and RAPID. First of all, I just want to say I really appreciate that they are collected for me in a way that I can just easily turn to them and remind myself of the points. Just really appreciate that they're just aggregated there in a really simple way. Talk with me about the sin of partiality and the vital practice of affirmation, because I felt like in the book that those two chapters, the sin of partiality and then the vital practice of affirmation, I feel like they go together. And then I also feel like it's sort of the heart of what we have to understand in order to get to the place where we become this brochure for heaven.
Absolutely. So earlier in the book, as I set up the dialogue for the heart of the content, you're exactly right. I give the distinction both biblically and historically regarding the tension between the terms ethnicity and race. So just a 30,000-foot view to set up the answer to your question. I think that when we look at not just human history, but we look at the scriptures, we should be advocates of ethnicity, not what has been socially constructed as the term race. The reason that is because when we look at scripture, we all have the same father and mother, Adam and Eve. So there is one race, the human race. But that human race does not lead to the teaching that has been popularized known as color blindedness, where it automatically erases the ethnicity of the individuals. So there are different ethnic heritages within this one human race. Even the gospel sets up this truth, because if we say that people can be reconciled to God, there has to be a point of conciliation before reconciliation can take place. And that's why in Intentional, I frame the conversation around the ministry work of what I call ethnic conciliation as opposed to racial reconciliation. Because if there's not multiple races, there's only one race, then you can't reconcile when there's only already one. But then the reality of ethnicities is there's a multitude of ethnicities on planet Earth. And we need to recognize that, okay, so when in American history has there been a point of conciliation? Conciliation is achieved when there is no animosity, when there is no distrust, when there is no hostility. Well, that's never happened in American history en masse with the various ethnic heritages here on the American soil. So what we have to say is, okay, we need to focus on conciliation. And I think Jesus's finished work actually has spiritually already accomplished that. But now it is the church's role to make that practically visible. So all of that to say, when we lead to the whole dynamic of racism, that phrase, I'm trying to call the body of Christ to use new language, basically so that we can recognize that if people say you're a racist, anybody can wiggle out of being called a racist. Even people of color, such as myself, we could say, no, I can't be. I never technically can be racist because racism is an establishment of power and privilege. I've never had power and privilege, so I technically can't be racist. So people can wiggle out of that. That term is a powder keg in itself. So what I say is, okay, let's stop calling it racism when there's only one race. Let's now call it the sin of partiality, because now it doesn't matter what ethnic heritage, doesn't matter what gender, doesn't matter what social class. This is the condition of the fallen, broken human heart that every human being is susceptible to practice. So we have to now say, okay, if God does not show partiality, then showing partiality is not a reflection of his character. If I'm made in his image, I'm made to reflect him. So I need to rid myself from the various expressions of partiality. And I even in the book talk about how I have been guilty of the sin of partiality. And so I think that when we begin to name it, now we begin to recognize it as a legitimate biblical identified sin. And when we do that, we have church discipline to deal with it. And if we're trying to hide it, we have the Lord's Supper. So there is no wiggle room. Either I'm going to deny taking the Lord's Supper because I know that there's this sin that I need to deal with and that I have to surrender to God and seek reconciliation interpersonally with my fellow brother and sister, or I'm going to be put under church discipline for this. There's no middle ground. And so I think that the body of Christ, we have to take this approach so that, again, we can regain our witness. And as we do that, I think with us confessing the sin of partiality, receiving forgiveness, that's going to lead us to stronger, meaningful relationships, spiritual vitality. And again, it's going to give us a stronger witness to the world so that we can be those brochures of heaven.
That is D.A. Horton. You can find him online at dahorton.com. His latest book, Intentional: Kingdom Ethnicity in a Divided World. D.A., thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Carmen. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.